We're going to talk tonight about no divisions, no limitations. Say that, no division, no limitation. And then go with me to 1 Peter 2, so our regular launching point. This is what we've been, and if you heard Sunday, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say this. This is what we've been forecasting since the beginning of the year. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16 in the Message Bible. It reads, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." We've been saying this now since January. We have to treat every person that we meet with dignity. We have to treat every person we meet like they have importance, because they do. And we have to revere God. We have to love God. We have to respect God with all our hearts. And we have to respect the government, because Romans 13, I believe, tells us that all authority is from God. So a rebellion against authority is a rebellion against God. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the current state of our nation. It's in an uproar because of the murder of George Floyd, due to an egregious action by a Minnesota police officer. And I understand today that the charges against the officer was upgraded from third-degree murder to second-degree murder. It was just a horrible thing. There's no way to explain it. And some people are marching in a peaceful protest, while others just want to loot and pillage and could care less about what happened to Mr. Floyd. And that's not my opinion. That's what I hear when I listen to the news reporters interviewing those that who have been arrested for looting. I've heard comments like, "Yeah, it was, you know, you don't want to see anyone get killed, but I'm out here for me. You know, it's about what I want to get." So, and that takes away from the true intent, because I, from my heart, I believe that the people, most of the people, they want to peacefully protest, because the Constitution gives us the right. Some may or may not have read this, but I looked it up in the First Amendment. It says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." That just means the Constitution says we have a right to gather in a peaceful manner and present grievances to the government, presenting things to the government that says, "This needs to change." And I believe that was the purpose. I choose to believe that was the purpose of the protests, but some folks just took it to a place where it didn't need to go. So as citizens, we have a right to assemble peaceably to petition the government for a change in what we believe is wrong. We have that right, and we should exercise that right. And if we have government officials that don't listen, then we have voting day, where we vote them out of office. And in between the times, we have letters, we have emails, we have texts. A lot of them are on Twitter, and you can make your opinion, your voice, your concern known, and let them know you have this concern and you are a voter. You are a voter. And I'm sure that they will listen to the voters. They'll listen. 1 Peter 2:16, the Passion Translation, says, as God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. And there are those that are using the freedoms to peacefully assemble as an opportunity to redecorate their homes or do all these other things, you know, that are taking away from the true purpose of what we the people are trying to accomplish, and that's to get change so we don't have any more of these egregious actions, not just on people of color, but on any people. Which will recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. It means we shouldn't be in strife with anyone, but we especially shouldn't be in strife with another believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. I was speaking to one of our local officials, and I said to them, I said, no, we're not going to go rogue. We're going to honor, you know, the choices that the governor made concerning how many people we can have in assembly. We don't agree with it. We don't like it. But we can't teach and we can't preach and we can't encourage you to respect the government if we don't. So, yes, we're living within the regulations that were established because, folks, just because there was an obvious abuse of power by someone who was sworn to protect us, we have a responsibility as a church. We have a responsibility as Christians. And whether we like it or not, we're the ones who made the choice to become Christians. We're the ones who said, Jesus, you're my Lord. So since we said it, now we have to act like it. And it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But Ephesians 4, verse 26, King James Version, stay with me, says, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry. It's all right that you're angry. But Paul told us, he said, sin not. And he said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I told someone once that means you have 24 hours or really 12 hours to resolve any issues you have with anyone because you got to get it done before the sun goes down. But let me share that verse in the Passion Translation. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. This is a very passionate situation, and we all have to guard against allowing the passion of our emotions to cause us to lead us into doing something that we normally wouldn't do, that we would see as wrong, because emotions tell you everything is right. Emotions say whatever you want to do is fine. And then you can ask the question, why is it fine? Because you're emotional. And that's the way emotional people act. Well, we're Christians. And we've been given physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got so that we can choose to keep our emotions in check so they don't lead us to sin. We can choose to keep our anger in check so we're not driven by anger, not even for a day. Matthew 5, verse 44, 46 is a verse that people don't really like because Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I hear people saying, really? You really believe that, Pastor Greg? Yeah, I do. Because of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Why don't you go there? 2 Corinthians 5. Because this is what you did and I did. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, this is the Passion Translation, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. And behold, everything is fresh and new. So the new creation in Christ has the ability to not let the passion of their emotions lead them into sin. The new creation in Christ doesn't let anger control them or be the fuel for revenge, not even for a day. The new creation in Christ can love their enemies. The new creation can bless those that curse them. The new creation can do good to those that persecute them and pray for those who despitefully use them. And then the Bible in the next verse tells us why we should be doing that. You know, just setting aside the fact that as a new creature in Christ, we can, but it tells us why we should. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So God is telling us, if I as God can send sunlight and give sunlight and water, which we all need to live, to those that listen to me and those that don't, then surely the ones who say they listen to me can love their enemies, can pray for them that despitefully use them and persecute them. Why? Because we are his children. And just because you may be someplace and someone gives a rousing speech designed to stimulate your emotions, you don't have to buy into it and throw away your identity with Christ. Listen, get information, get intel. Don't change who you are. I listen to everything anybody wants to tell me. I run it through the filter of the Holy Ghost. Some things I can retain, some things I just let pass through me. And I've learned that I decide, and I am the only one who can decide what I'm going to let affect me emotionally. No one else can do that for me. See, when you fail to do these things that we just spoke about, we're throwing away our kinship as a child of God, and or at the very least, we're hiding it somewhere. Luke 10:19, you know, I told it to you a little while ago. I share it every time I minister because it's such a powerful and important scripture. Jesus said, and this is the Amplified Version, "Behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you." In Matthew 16, he told Peter that on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he was going to build the church, and the gates of hell was not going to prevail against the church. And he said he was going to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, so that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So the spirit that's causing all of this disruption here on this planet, the church has the power to control it. So, well, if they have the power to control it, why aren't they? I'm going to get to that. I promise, I'm going to get to that. What's important to understand, the church was designed, the church was given something so that not even the gates of hell can surpass the church in strength. So nothing that hell produces will ever be able to match the strength of the church, period. One of the things I told you this on Sunday, Pastor Clinton said God forecasts and he fulfills. And I shared that with you to let us know that the things that were being taught in this church and other churches just like us, you know, who believe the same thing, we were teaching answers before the problems even showed up. We were giving instructions on this is what to do before the what to do showed up. We didn't know that. We were just being obedient to the prompting from the Holy Ghost. But he knew a pandemic was coming. He knew racism was going to rear its ugly head again. And he was trying to teach his children, trying to give his children the strategy necessary to deal with everything. So without knowing what was coming, we were just listening to the Holy Ghost telling us what to tell you. And here we are. But just because we're here, or I should say, even though we are here in the midst of this, we know who we are in Christ. And all we have to do now is start acting like we know who we are in Christ. See, God wanted us to know that the devil was going to unleash all sorts of attacks on the world. And he wanted the church to know that they had already been equipped with the answer. So you say, okay, Pastor Greg, I believe all of that you just said is true. We're in a pandemic. We're in the midst of racial turmoil. What happened? Good question. And I happen to have a good answer. Pastor Ed and I, we have several ministry friends. When we go out to Rhema, we love to get to see them, talk with them, eat too much food with them because they love Cheesecake Factory. And we always wind up at Cheesecake Factory saying, we're not going to get any cheesecake, so we'll get strawberry shortcake because that's not cheesecake. But we have this friend. His name is Guy Pei, and he and his wife travel all over the world. Guy is about 2 inches taller than I am. You know, and that's one of the things, I guess, we first looked at each other, that we could see each other almost eye to eye. And they go to places that you don't even want to think about, and they minister. And they were teaching somewhere, and Pastor Ed heard, when he was listening to the teaching on, I guess, on social media. And when he came in, he just shared some of it with me. You know, I didn't have time to look at it all. And I didn't have time to stay and let Pastor Ed share as much as he did because I was getting ready for this evening. But he shared something with me that changed the direction of where we're going to go this evening. And it helped me understand exactly why things are happening, exactly why the effectiveness of the church seems to have waned. Look at Genesis 11. Genesis 11. First 9 verses, King James Version. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, who said? The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So God said, look at these people. They're operating in one accord. Everyone's saying the same thing. Everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone has the exact same purpose, the exact same focus, and now they can do anything they imagine. And obviously, God didn't want them to build a tower to heaven. They would have built a tower to heaven. Look at all the years it took us just to, you know, to do unmanned launches into space. And this group of people had, God said, if I leave them alone, they're going to build a tower into heaven. God said, let us go down and there confound their speech that they may not understand one another's speech. So God said, I'm going to go down and make sure that they're not all saying the same thing anymore, that they don't understand what the other person is saying. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. That means they just forgot about the city that they were going to build. They forgot about the mission that they had agreed they were going to do. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now think about this. The Lord said, these people are on one accord. They're speaking the same thing, and their focus is the same, and now this thing that they've decided to do, nothing is going to prevent them from doing it. Why? Because they're on one accord. They believe the same thing. They're saying the same thing. They're all acting the same way. And according to God, they were going to build a tower that was going to reach the heavens. Okay? And God said, they're operating as one. Anything they plan to do, anything they imagine to do, they will be able to do. And God didn't see that as a good thing. Because first of all, they weren't building a city to God. They weren't trying to make a name for God. They weren't trying to make God known. They were trying to make themselves known. They were trying to exalt themselves, and God wasn't going to have it. But I want you to pay attention to how God stopped it, because that's what's happening. The devil took that principle, and he's using it today. God said, "Let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. God came up with a plan to prevent them from being able to communicate with one another like they were used to doing. Now they're different languages, or you could say they're different messages being shared. You could say they're different points of view now being shared. And this is all different because they were used to everybody being on the same level, everybody being on one accord, everybody going in the same direction. And now something was injected there where they don't understand anybody and everybody's doing their own thing. They became confused and they all went their different directions, and they never finished the thing that God said nothing would be able to prevent them from doing. Say, well, okay. When Pastor Red told me that, everything started clicking. Everything started making sense to me. Folks, for at least 16 years, the devil has been using racism and politics to divide a nation, to divide a world. Probably longer than that, but for at least 16 years, he's been doing that. And the church, the entity that was put in place to control it, allowed it to creep in. And so now it's causing division in churches. Churches are no longer saying the same thing, no longer having the same focus, no longer having the same purpose. Have gotten too caught up in things, and we fell victim to a principle. And this is what Pastor Ed heard our friend Guy say. Division causes limitations. Division causes limitations. The people that wanted to build that tower had unlimited potential because they were on one accord. They believed the same thing. They said the same thing. They thought the same thing. They worked toward the same thing. And God said, nothing shall be impossible for them. And all God did was change their language so they no longer understood each other. And now, instead of being limitless, they became divided and became limited. And figured, and then just everybody just walked off and did their own thing. Just did their own thing. And the tower was never completed. If they'd stayed together, those citizens would have probably figured out a way to communicate. But they all got discouraged. They didn't know. You know, I used to understand Bill over here. I don't know what's all wrong with him. Well, yeah, Charlie's gone off the deep end. Also, I don't know what's the matter with it. And Mary, oh, forget about Mary. Who knows where she's going? I never heard anything like that before. And next thing you know, they're all gone in their own direction, and the towers remains unbuilt. Unbuilt, lost their focus. Why? They allowed themselves to become divided. And that's what the devil is doing here. He's going back and forth between politics and racism, and the church is getting caught up in it. And people say, you don't like this law, go protest. Yeah, let's go protest. Whoa, we're the church. That not be our job, man. You know? Something happens that, I mean, it was what happened was heinous. I told you how I felt about it on Sunday. But I have a responsibility as a Christian, and my responsibility doesn't end because something happened that I don't like. As a matter of fact, my responsibility becomes even more important because the things that I've been given by God to be a good steward here on the earth, now the earth needs it. But I'm not in place because I'm running off somewhere listening to someone incite people to riots. And I have the answer. Limitless is what the church is supposed to be. Limitless is how the church was designed. Limitless was how the early church functioned. People wonder, well, how come we don't see all the miracles? There's division. That's why. I always talk about predators. I like predators. I studied predators. When I say I like them, not I don't want one as a pet. I'm just fascinated by how they think and how they work together and how they have the same goal and how they will drive a member of their clan out if they're not following the rules. You know, and these are animals. But a herd of Cape buffalo are very strong, very fierce. The only person I knew that I'd encounter one personally was Deacon Tony, and he told me about them. He said, no, you don't want to mess with Cape buffaloes. And Cape buffaloes also happen to be one of the favorite food of lions. They love Cape buffaloes, you know, because they're big and meaty. Just like you love a good steak, they like a good Cape buffalo. You know? But a herd of Cape buffalo has the ability to wipe out a pride of lions. So why do you think the Cape buffalo don't? Because the lions cause a distraction that causes division in the herd, and the herd gets scattered, and then the lions just go, and whoever's the slowest or the weakest, they're the ones that become lunch or dinner or breakfast. And every now and then, if you watch long enough, you'll see two, three, or four Cape buffalo will come back when they realize one of theirs is in trouble, and they'll fight off the pride of lions. But when they're divided, they're limited. They can't do anything when they're divided, but they can do anything if they remain a herd, if they remain intact. So the lions caught, I mean, the lions, they're causing this division. And I can just imagine the Cape buffalo. You look at that line. You see that line over here. And one said, don't worry about that line. Just stick together. Look at those teeth. I got to get out of here. And then you just have confusion. And you have a herd of powerful animals fully capable of defending themselves running in many directions by one or two lines. Why? They're divided. And once they became divided, they became limited. That's why we're told to make the master proud by being good citizens, by respecting authority, whatever the level, by understanding that they're God's emissaries for keeping order, knowing that it's God's will that by doing right, we cure the ignorance of foolish people. Folks, racism is the result of an ignorance. We do what's right, it cures it. If we don't do what's right, it causes it to spread. Why? Because we've been placed here to subdue the earth. That's what God said in Genesis. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion over everything. So we were created to have dominion over everything. But we have to be united. We can't do it divided. That's why Ephesians says, don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or fuel or be fuel for revenge, not even for a day. That's why Jesus told us to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good. That's why God gave us authority over snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, so that we could stay together and stay unlimited instead of becoming limited by division. In Mark 3, this is going to jump down to Mark 3. Jesus said, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So if a kingdom is divided against itself, the entire kingdom cannot stand. Then he says, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And then he goes even further. If Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but will have an end. You know something? The house that's divided will have an end. The kingdom that's divided will have an end. The church that's divided will have an end. That's why churches, you have to get together. We have to be united as individuals, individual houses of worship. We need to be united, and we need to be united as the corporate body of Christ, the corporate body of believers. We need to be united. Then anything we put our minds to won't be restrained from us. No, we will not be able to wipe out racism. Racism will be here until the devil's locked up for 1,000 years. Why? Because it's just sin. And as long as the devil's loose, there's going to be sin. But there are restraints that can be put up. Just like I shared with you on Sunday, how flood, that we build dams to stop the flow of water so we can build cities, parks, whatever. But if we don't maintain that dam or that levee, the weight, the pressure of the water will cause the levee to fail. And then people get upset with the water. The water's just trying to do what water does. And we say, we don't want water over here. We want this with something else. So let's build this up to subdue the water. Well, you can't just build it and leave it. You have to, there has maintenance that has to be done. It needs to always be checked, always be watched, just to make sure that it holds and fast and it does everything it's supposed to do. Well, we have the same responsibility spiritually, to be on watch, to make sure, oh no, racism, I see you trying to slip in over there, and you keep it restrained. But we've become divided. So we've become limited, because division causes limitations. And we've allowed these things to creep in. Well, now that we know it, all we have to do is fix it. And yes, fixing it is it's not as hard as it seems. Racism is what the enemy is using to divide this nation and the church, because it works. That's why he's using it. It works. It causes people to go all the way back in past and bring everything to the future. But you, as a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Yes, there's some things that I can pull up. I was in the first group of people to ever be bussed. And I felt wrath and rage and all of those things at what I had to endure just to go to school. And I'm in the seventh grade. Brand new junior high school. Yes, I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like, you know, to be targeted, you know, to be of racial profiling. I've been stopped at least 6 times growing up for various reasons. I get that. I understand all of that. But I'm still here. because I know how to talk to people. And things were being restrained then. And we got along the way, over the last few several years, we've become a little slack. And now we're allowing things to rise up that wouldn't rise up before. And we're blaming also, it's social media. Racism was here long before social media, okay? Before Facebook, before all of those things, you know, people just didn't talk about it. They did it in secret. Well, now it's been exposed. Everybody knows about it. I think that's a good thing if we do the right thing about it and the right thing with it. Are we making the master proud by being good citizens? Good citizens. Are we respecting the authorities, whatever their level? Are we doing what's right? Or are we just following the crowd? Are we treating everyone we meet with dignity and love and compassion? Are we really revering God? That's what we need to find out. Are we doing those things? I thought it very interesting. I didn't give our gentleman the scripture, but I thought about Peter when he was having the conversation with Jesus down on, I'd say, on the beach. They were near the water, and Jesus said to him, "Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." And I realized what he was saying in light of what we're talking about tonight. Jesus was letting us know that Satan is going to try to separate us. Why? Because where there's division, there are limitations. And he wanted to limit Peter's authority. So he was trying to get Peter to separate himself from Jesus, which Peter did three times because he was afraid for his own life. But he got it back together and he came back, and we could see why the devil didn't want Peter, you know, to stay in the faith, because Peter turned out to be a mighty, mighty, mighty man. And did tremendous things in starting the early church. Well, the devil was trying to limit the effectiveness of the early church, so he figured if he could get Peter out of the way, the church wouldn't be as effective. But just like we've been doing, Jesus was forecasting to Peter. And he told him, "But Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted," not if you're converted, said, "and when you're converted," or when you come back to me, because you're going to be a little confused about this for a little bit, "but you're going to come back to me, then you strengthen the brethren." And that's the part that will change things around. We have to realize that we've been a little out of it, we're a little off step, a little out of position. We get back into position and start strengthening one another. And we start running roughshod over racism and all the political mess. And we start subduing things like we were placed here to do because we're the church. We start utilizing the keys that we've been given to bind that which needs to be bound and loose that which needs to be loosed. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll probably share this and I'll probably quit. Starting at verse 20 in the Passion Translation, says, "So now we see," Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, "so now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and equally wrong if the head said to the foot, 'I don't need you.' In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. But some of our body parts don't require that much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together. He didn't say, you know, this is a good part, this is an excellent part, we don't need this one as much, we'll put it over there. He said, God has mingled the parts together. Together. But to the lesser members, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and that there would be no division in the body. So we have to stop looking at people and labeling them. Oh, they're a baby Christian. What's a baby Christian? How do you determine that? But let's just say, for the sake of this meeting, let's just say we were able to look at someone and say, they're a baby Christian. Well, what you're saying is you're not, right? So why not go and help the baby mature? If that's what you believe, why not be the example? Why not be the model so that this baby knows this is the way a Christian acts? He has done this so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and that there would be no division in the body. How come he didn't want no division? Because he didn't want his body to become limited. He wanted his body to hold on to the unlimited potential that he gave it. And the only thing that can take away that potential is division. Because every part needs every part. Every part. Some translations say the whole body is healthy as each part does its own special work. So if one part is missing, the whole body's not healthy. If one part gets separated, the whole body becomes limited now. How can you say that? Because whatever that one part had is no longer available. Why not? It's not there. That's why we need to be reaching out to other people. As believers, as Christians, we need to stop using terms like those so-called believers. Or they say they're believers. We don't know what's in someone's heart. All that matters is that Jesus told us, a new commandment I give you, love one another. When you're loving one another, you bring people together. And when people come together, guess what there's not? Division. And if there's no division, there are no limitations. When we're one body, one God, one Lord, one word, one purpose, one mission, it doesn't matter who's in office, we, the church as one, using one language, being focused on one thing. What one thing? What God tells the church to be focused on, which is going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. When we do that, we will accomplish anything and everything that we imagine to do for Christ. But we have to be united, and we cannot be divided, because division will always cause limitations. So if there's no division, there are no limitations. Period. Before I leave you, got two other things I want to do. Remember I said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So in order for us to come together, we must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He said, you must be born again. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then all the old baggage of the old you has been passed away, and everything about you becomes new. And so I'm going to lead you in a confession, because that's all you have to do is confess. Because that's what the Bible says. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. So just say this after me. Father God, I believe that you are God. And I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. Jesus, I turn to you now and I ask you, come into my life, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, folks, according to the Bible, if you prayed that prayer, you said it with your mouth, you meant it with your heart, in your heart, you just got born again. And I'd like for you to just note the contact information on the screen and contact us. And let us know, yeah, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and I received Jesus Christ. And we're going to send you a packet of free information just to let you know who you've become in Christ and help you get started out on the right path. And if you have any questions about tonight's message, anything that I've shared, use the same contact information and contact me. Contact me. I'm reachable and I will answer. You contact me, I will answer you, and so will Pastor Ed. We'd love to hear your comments.